Good morning. We're all awake. It's good to see. Wayne did such a good job, I think I'll just hand over the mantle. Okay, let's turn our Bibles to Job. Job chapter 1, verses 8 to 11. It's always hard to preach from this book because it's been done to death almost. But this could be one of the hardest messages I've ever had to do. Started off so well, hasn't it? It could be a 10-tissue testimony, I'm not sure. Now let's read from verse number 8 through to verse number 11. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you, Lord, for this book of Job, Lord, where we can have an insight into the trials of life and how we can see how this man Job was able to get through that. Lord, I just pray for your strength this morning. I pray, Lord, that as we go through this book of Job, that we won't have in our minds that we've heard it all before, but that you would speak to our hearts and that we might gain some new truth from you this day. I pray, Lord, that you would help us all to be drawn into a closer and a deeper walk with you, that you might be able to use us in a way that we don't think possible. We thank you, Lord, for the trials that you give us, and we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to grow through them. I just ask, Lord, that you would open our hearts to your word this morning. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So the title of this message, come testimony, I guess, is The Journey Through Trials. And I don't want to make it sound like that any trial that my family has gone through is any greater than anyone else's, because it's not. I know there are people even here in this building that have gone through probably greater things than we have. So I'm not trying to compare trials. And I'm not trying to say that one's more important than the other. We all go through trials, and we may even be there right now. But there are things that we can learn. And if we're not learning, we're losing. So, the book of Job, you know, I don't want us to think that this is a model of how God deals with us. You know, we look at Job, and especially the passage that we've looked at there, and we'll think, well, you know, this is how God deals with his people. But it's not. It's an insight as to how we can go through the trials. You know, I've prayed before, and I know many of you do as well. God put a hedge of protection around me. You know, and I thought, you know, that's beautiful. So I've got to take these off because I can't see now. But, you know, it's only found in the book of Job, this hedge of protection. And who said it? It was Satan. Satan said, God, you have put a hedge of protection around Job. God didn't say that. What did God say in verse number 8? He said, hath thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man. He wasn't perfect. None of us are perfect. He wasn't saying that he was born perfect. He was saying his heart was not divided. His heart was towards God. One that feareth evil and escheweth, one that feareth God, I've got to get that right, and escheweth evil, which means that he cut off evil from his life. That was the testimony of Job and the testimony that God said of Job. But then Satan said, look, he only fears you because you've put a barrier around him. And there in verse number 3, it says of Job that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. So Satan was saying to God that, you know, Job doesn't love you. He loves the barrier of protection you've put around him. He's untouchable. He doesn't trust you. He trusts the barrier that you've put around him. And God said of Job, there is none like him in the earth. So when we think of the book of Job and the testings and the trials that we go through, we shouldn't come to this book and say, whoa, this is how God deals with his people. Satan, oh yeah, look at this guy. You know, I'll pick on Joshua, he gets picked on every week, so he won't mind. Look at my servant Joshua. Handsome, I'll grant it, yeah. And by all means, do whatever you want to him. And we're going, whoa, no, no. Now he said of Job, there is none like him. God doesn't deal with his people like he dealt with Job. You know, let's get this out of our mind, that God is a mean God. The reason that Job went through this is there was none like him in the earth. And when Satan accused Job, God knew Job. He was proud of this man. Not in a, you know, ooh, look at my servant Job. No, he had confidence in Job. Satan said that the only reason that Job loved God was because of the barrier he had around him. But God said, no, he loves me because he fears me and he eschews evil. He had confidence in Job that if he was to go through a trial, Satan would be shown to be the liar that he is. So this is not how God deals with his people. This is how God dealt with Job. And we can see from how Job handled that, how we can handle the trials in our life. And I've meditated upon this passage for so long. And I believe this idea of a barrier hurts our view of God when trials come. You know, we have this idea that God's sitting up there with like a remote control. And he goes, barrier down. Barrier up. Barrier down. This is quite fun. Up, down. Up, down, up, down, up, down, down, up, down, down. See, if that's what we think, God is a mean God. God didn't say that he placed the barrier around us. Satan said that. Now, the fact is that Job, he was a man that was well blessed. And in Psalm 115, verses 13 to 15, it says, "He will bless them that fear the Lord." That's the Lord saying that. "He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great." And it goes on to talk about the blessing. But God will bless those that have the testimony of Job. Fear God and escheweth evil. It's the blessing of God that caused Job to be great, not a barrier. You need to have a right view of God when you have a trial. That's the most important thing, to have a right view of God. So trials come. So why do we have a trial? If there's no barrier that Satan can get to us, why do we have a trial? Well, we live in a fallen world. Great, everyone's going to blame God when something happens. Why? Because they're thinking there's a barrier there. You know, and if we even entertain the thought that there's a barrier there, you know, most of us we're outside the barrier anyway. And some of them would even pour petrol on it and burn the barrier to the ground and then say, "God, why? Where's my barrier?" It's a wrong view of God. We live in a fallen world. In John 16:33 it says, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." Pressure, affliction, trouble. Why? Because it's a fallen world. Second Timothy 3:12. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Not all people will treat you right, because it's a fallen world. But trials also come because we're not living under the blessing of God. James chapter 1 verse 14. "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." So trials will come upon us because we're in a fallen world, but also because we bring them upon ourselves. We blame God for everything, but we never blame us for anything. Many of us are not living under the blessing of God. We're not fearing God and eschewing evil. But I believe there are three stages of a trial. And if we look at Job and what he went through, I think we'll see those, and it may help us. We see there Job chapter 1, verses 20 to 22. So Job had 7 sons and 3 daughters, 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and they all went in one day. It was a bad day. But this is what happened when these things happened. Verse number 20. "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, 'Naked came I out of my mother's womb and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.' In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." That was a strange reaction. He must have been happy to get rid of that lot. Must have had problem kids. Remember what God said of Job. "There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, a heart not divided, feareth God and escheweth evil." He knew that all that he had was a result of the blessing of God. And God had granted him the privilege of having those things, those blessings for a season. And he thanked him for it. He thanked God for those things, for those children that he had. Now, the natural reaction for us is to hold on to our things really tight. Too tight. But the real purpose of a trial is to weaken our grip on those things. All we have is by God's grace and belongs to God. And as Job said, when we die, we take nothing with us. Came into the world with nothing, and we're going to leave with nothing. It's the blessing of God that we have what we have. But the problem is that we think on what could have been, on what we wanted to happen, and we think of the future that might have been, that we wanted, and it brings discontentment and unthankfulness. Rather than focusing on what we've had. You know, that we're an ungrateful people because we think of what we want rather than what we've got. Or even what we have had. And so many of us are living a prosperity gospel. We love God when things are going good. But then when something bad happens, we don't love God. You know why? We're neither living by faith nor trust in God. So we see here there's a loss of possessions. But if we move over to Job chapter 2, verses 3 to 10, Satan came back and continued to accuse Job. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause? And Satan answered the Lord, and said, Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will give for his life. But put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord, and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did Job sin, not sin with his lips. See, Job said that God was the Lord of his health and his life, not just his possessions. And this is often the hardest part for us to accept when God allows us to be afflicted. But see, Job had a heart that was not divided. An upright man. His heart was not divided. He loved God. He trusted him and he cut off evil. So we can often cope with the things that we lose, but we can't cope with God touching our house. That's like off territory for God. You know, you can have other things, but that's, you can't have that. So we see there's the loss of health. Another issue that can come to us, a trial. We can lose possessions, we can lose our health, but we can also have broken relationships. Job's wife said, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. And then Job said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. Broken relationships. They can be as a result of the trial, or they can actually be the trial themselves. And did Job take these trials like a man? You betcha he did. He sat down for 7 days and said nothing. And then when he did finally say something, he cursed the day that he was born. What, Job? There was real grief. See, when trials come, there will be grief. There'll be pain. There'll be hurt, sorrow, questions, loneliness. That's the first part. When the trial comes, there will be grief. And you know, when a trial comes, you won't be ready for it. You won't be sitting down in your lounge chair waiting for the trial to come. It doesn't happen that way. You know, I think it was last July when Marion had her regular colonoscopy, and I just went to pick her up, as I normally do, you ready yet? And she was sitting there in a room. And she said, "Oh, the doctor wants to talk. I've got cancer." And, it was like, okay. All right. So that's what it is. And so it wasn't a convenient time. It's just, here it is. And that meant that we had to go home and have a serious discussion with our children. No sugarcoating. This is what it is. So the colonoscopy was on Friday, and then we see the surgeon on Monday, and everything's happening very fast. And the surgeon says, "Yeah, we'll just cut all this out. We'll cut the whole bowel out. We'll do all this. And it's like, whoa, okay, that's pretty strong. When do you think about this? So the recommendation was remove the whole bowel. But we said no. Only what needs to go. And then we saw the quote for the operation. And that was like, oh, man. We're not buying an aircraft, And then we thought, well, how can we get into the public system? We've got private health insurance, but man, it's going to cost us that much. How can we go public? And I think of Arcan. How long did you have to wait, brother? Why would you want to go through the public system? And so it is what it is. It's going to cost us a fortune, but that's life. Never at a convenient time. And that's what the trial is. It's not supposed to be convenient. But that's only stage one. Stage two is enduring the trial. How do we endure the trial? Well, the first thing is that you need to get beyond the grief. There will be grief, pain, sorrow, hurt, but you have to get beyond it. If we look at Job chapter 13, verse number 15. You know what they say, the first step to fixing a problem is to admit you have a problem? You have to get beyond the grief. In Job chapter 13, verse number 15, Job said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." Despite the fact that I have this trial, I will continue to trust in him. You have to accept the trial. You can't just say, "Oh, well, I don't want this to happen." Well, okay. But you have to accept it. It is what it is. And that's one of my favourite sayings. People often say to me, oh, you're just a relaxed sort of character. And maybe I am to a certain degree, but more than that, you know, it is what it is. There's no point saying it's not what it is. The fact is what it is. We can run around and we can play games, but you know, here it is. So what are we going to do about it? You have to accept the trial. Don't fight against God and start blaming everything else or blaming God, running from the truth. The healing process can't start while you're fighting God over the trial. You have to turn that grief around. And you know, we didn't start blaming God. We live in a fallen world. And the fact is, if we want to get technical about it, Marion's cancer is a genetic cancer. So if we had the genes that Adam had, we'd be fine. But we don't. Gradually they're getting worse and worse. You know, I've got grey hair, and that's genetic as well. It's not that I'm an old man, although I am. You know, I've been grey since about 20s. You know, so it is what it is, and I'm not going to blame God for it. Because we live in a fallen world. So we have to accept that trial. Though he slay me, though I have this trial, yet will I trust in him. Not blame him, trust in him. But it doesn't stay there. We then have to get to the next step, which is in Job chapter 19, and verse number 25. So now that we know what we have and it is what it is, how can we endure this trial? Job said in chapter 19, verse 25, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." See, in a trial you need hope, but your hope is not victory over the trial. My poor Sunday school class, life stages class, you know, I've had all these messages going on for the past year and I've had to give it to them. So I've been saying to them that victory is not when the trial is removed. It's when you have peace in the midst of the trial. Because that trial may never be removed. So hope is not that the trial is taken away. That's not where hope is. And as Job said, instead of taking the short-term view on the trial, we need to start looking at the long-term view. What did Job say? Naked came I in, naked will I go out. But where's he going to? Job said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." See, we can worry about the trial and this trial that we have and trying to overcome the trial, but hey, that's just a short-term trial. You need to look long-term where you're going with no clothes on and with nothing with you. Actually, we will get clothes. I'm sorry. You'll be replacing what you have. You need to start looking at eternal matters. Not because suddenly you have faith in God. That's what I'm talking about. It's good to have faith, but faith is faith. We're talking about reality here. Do you believe in God? Because if you're trusting in something, what are you trusting in? Job feared God. He trusted God. And in the trial, you need to trust God. And the hope comes when you think upon beyond what we currently are experiencing. In John 16:33, the verse that we read before, I only quoted half of it. The full verse is this: these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. See, that's where your hope is. It's not the trial. Your hope is in eternity. And if you have the wrong view of God, you can't even get to this point. If you don't have the right view of God, of who God is, that God loves you always, not when things are going good, he loves you always, even in the midst of a trial. God is good always, and that he is your Savior. That he has paid for your sin so that there is an eternity. And that we look towards where we're going to, not where we are now, for hope. We need to look beyond that. And so as good as doctors are, that's not where your hope is. I'm sorry to all the doctors in the room, you know. As good as doctors are, you can't rest in their skill and strength. You have to trust God with the outcome. Turning your hope beyond the outcome of the trial. You have to focus upon eternity. And there were days when Marion just had to lay on the lounge after the operation and having the chemo. And you know, despite everyone's desire to fix it, you can't. That's just the way it has to be. And I know poor Michelle would ring me up and say, oh, we want to do something. And I said, well, can't do anything. She's just going to lay on the lounge. And the house will be as it is, but she just needs to lay in the lounge. But, you know, that's not where our hope is. You know, we want to fix the problem, but you can't fix the problem. See, the problem is not the trial. You know, that's just something that we're going through at the moment. The real problem is, spiritually, where are we? Because that's where our hope is. Now, we'll focus upon the trial, but really, the trial is there for a time, but that's not where it's at. We need to think beyond that. And then if we go to Job chapter 23, verse number 10, we have to trust God that there is good in the trial. Job said, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. There's something to be learned from the trial. And when you turn your eyes from the trial and start thinking of about eternal matters, no better time than when you think you're going to die. You start focusing on eternal matters and you see the good in the situation. But you've got to turn your eyes off the trial and you've got to turn it towards God. And start asking God, what am I doing? What are you doing? What's my relationship with you really like? Those are the questions. Not God, why are you doing this? We need to start examining ourselves. Because there's good. There's good in the trial. Romans 8:6 says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You won't have life and peace if you're thinking about the trial. You've got to be spiritually minded, thinking about eternity and thinking about what am I going to get out of this. 2 Peter 1:2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord, of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace. There's something to be learned. And I've learnt through the trial that we've been through to appreciate what I have more and more. I love my wife so much more. And my boys have had to grow up and to grow spiritually. It's been hard on them too. It's easy to, just focus on one thing, but it's a family issue. But we went to chemo together and we had good times together, sitting there talking, for half a day. She got chemo brain and suddenly I was the one that could remember everything. That's never happened before. It's always good. But we had quality time. And it's a journey to be shared. And I know as a church family, we've gone through that journey together. It's an opportunity to minister one to another. There is good to be seen there. If you're prepared to lift up your eyes from your trial, you can see that there is something good there. But then stage three is the other side. So you start off with the trial, then there's enduring the trial, but then there's the other side. And when you're in the valley of the trial, the understanding is very clouded. And it's not until we move out of the valley that we start to really see. We see where we've come from and our view is upward as we go out of the valley. We might not look back with fondness, but we won't look back with fear. We look at Job chapter 42 towards the end. After all that Job had been through, and if you read the book, you'll see that he had all his friends come and tell him that his problem was because he was a great sinner. He was sinning and God was judging him. And he knew that wasn't the case. But he had to put up with that. And towards the end of that, God spoke to Job. And then in verse 5 of chapter 42, Job said, "I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." He thought he knew God, but he just learnt a little bit more. Now he really knew God. Job thought he was righteous, but he realized that he didn't know God as well as he thought he did. So the trial is unwanted, but the lessons that you learn, you can't buy. You go down to Woolies if you want. It won't be on discount. You have to wait. That's why the trial comes. Because it's the hard lesson that has to be learnt is the one that you treasure the most. As you go through trials with God, you learn to trust Him more. But the other side doesn't always mean that the trial's removed. And we see that in Paul's life. Paul had a thorn in the flesh, but God said, "Sorry, Paul, you're going to have a thorn in the flesh." It can mean that we have to learn to live with it. So as a family, we've come through the other side. But we haven't come out the same way we went in. We went into the valley over here, but we've come out over here. We've come out at a different place. And the last colonoscopy was clear. And the CAT scan was clear. But Marion has to have a colonoscopy every year and scans every year. Doesn't end there. The effects of the chemo still linger on. There are some foods that she can't eat because it causes her pain. And there's a change in the lifestyle. You know, and some people might think it's crazy because she's trying to eat, you know, raw vegetables. And you think, whoa, what a nutter. But that's the thing that is easier for her to eat. And she still has an 80% chance of getting bowel cancer. That's why the surgeon said we want to take the whole bowel. So it doesn't end there. One trial has passed, but that doesn't mean there won't be more to come. And so we have this potential cloud hanging over us, so what do we do? Is that where we go back to the beginning and start blaming God? We can't. Through this past year, I've stumbled upon Nahum chapter 1 and verse number 7, which is between Micah and Habakkuk, somewhere in there. I'd never read this book before. Well, I'm sure I had, but I never stopped to ponder long. In Nahum chapter 1, verse number 7. It says, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knoweth them that trust in him." And as I read that, I said in my Sunday school class, oh, I shouldn't say Sunday school, hey, makes it sound like kids, life stages class. I got stuck on this verse for 3 days. In my quiet time, I got to the verse and I read it, and then I said, look, there's something here. And I kept on meditating upon it. And then the next day I came back and thought, okay, well, we need to go on from here. So I read it again, and I got stuck on it again. It took me 3 days to get through the verse. And when I read the verse, it's God in his relationship to us. It's the Lord is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. But when I thought about our relationship with God, if I read it back to him, he knoweth them that trust in him. God knows those that are trusting in him. And because we're trusting in him, he's a stronghold in the day of trouble. Not from trouble, a stronghold in the day of trouble. So we're trusting him, he becomes our strength. And because of that, I can see that the Lord is good. The trial is not where it ends. It's where it begins. It brings us to a point where we need to trust in him. Always. Now we say we trust, but I guarantee you, you trust in him when things are going good. Do you trust him when things aren't going good? Because if you don't, you don't trust him. You say you have faith in God, where is it? That's why the trial comes. It's to weaken our grip on the things that we have. The trials are good. We don't want them, not convenient. But the only way you can endure the trial is if you stop looking at the trial and start looking at eternal matters. If you have the wrong view of God, you won't even get to that point. You've got to see God for who he is, that he loves you. The trial was not because God is sitting there making your hedge go up and down, up and down. That's not God. We live in a fallen world, and that's not thanks to God. It's thanks to Satan. And Adam was the one that fell, and here we are. God is good always. And we have to get to that point. And your trial might be of your own doing. And you need to see that. Because if you don't, you can't even begin the journey. We can't stay in the grief mode. You've got to move beyond that. You've got to start trusting God. Because if you don't, you won't see the strength that He gives you, that stronghold, and you can't progress to where you see that He is truly good. Okay, let's bow our heads. Let's be upstanding.